Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Just tuned in to the voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt, broadcasting from the Free Zones inside deeply held patriot territory. In this fight for our heritage, American values, and ideals, and the fight is on. And I'm going to just bring you up to speed, guys, real quick. Today, I've been working on the ranch here and reconfiguring. I'm doing outdoor stuff, indoor stuff, inside. I have been completely reconfiguring, rewiring. So anyway, I was doing all that during the time when I would normally be putting my notes together and doing the final research and getting everything together for the show. So that set me back. So I'm going to do a short format show tonight, but I do want to share with you some updates that I'm really excited about. This has been a tremendously busy week, and so I have a lot of notes, but they're not organized the way I want them to be able to present them, which happens to me about once a quarter. And this week was just one of those times. So I did bring you guys up to speed a little bit yesterday with the broadcast from Columbia County down in Dayton, Washington. Well, what we should actually call Dayton Liberty. Simultaneously, there is the Liberty State booth at the Spokane County Fairgrounds. I've got some updates from that booth this weekend that are very encouraging. So I'm going to share some updates with you guys. Hurricane Dorian, of course, has diminished now to the point where it is just the remnants of a tropical storm. Still some dangerous weather out there, but really the East Coast got grazed, which was a huge blessing. I think a lot of people are praying because that was expected to be a ripping, record-breaking Category 5 storm. So these are the updates that I'm going to bring to you. And also kind of let you know what I'm going to be talking about next week. And this is what I want to be working on this week so I can have everything in place and ready to go. This is episode 19-33. And in my notes for this show, which I'm actually going to talk about next week, we often know that, you know, the four boxes that keep us free: the soap box, the ballot box, the jury box, and the cartridge box, if all else fails, right? Well, the soap box is our ability to speak, the first protected by the First Amendment. We have the news, the newspapers, the so-called watchdogs of government, and to guard against corruption, to expose what's happening within our government so that we can preserve the republic. But things have gone awry now with mainstream news becoming what we've all come to call fake news with an agenda. It's not just fake news, like they're just bad reporters. It's intentional. This is disinformation. We also have social media censoring the messages of the gatekeepers, right? And of the patriots. So the ballot box, well, that's so we can vote, right? But now we have elections which are rigged. We're discovering time and again where deceased citizens are found to have voted in elections. There are places where people are voting multiple times. Now we have electronic voting, which there's some great concerns about the security of that. So we're losing faith in the ballot box as well. And then you have the jury box. Well, that's sidestepped because of administrative law and rules. Now, we oftentimes citizens are penalized when they did not even face criminal charges, but they violated some administrative law, and they're told that they're not entitled to have a trial by a jury of their peers. So we're losing the jury box. Now, we have a loaded court system that is heavily Marxist, leftist leaning in their rulings, which leaves us with the cartridge box. Well, that right now is in process. We have red flag laws, unconstitutional laws violating that Second Amendment protected God-given right. We're losing the four boxes that are there to keep us secure and free. The soapbox, the ballot box, the jury box, and the cartridge box. All of those have become corrupted or in some form or a fashion twisted and altered so that we no longer have the means of maintaining freedom or an American system of governance based on a Republican form of governance. And then on top of that, we have fascism. Companies carrying out essentially actions that would be unlawful for the government to do, specifically in the Second Amendment category, but that's not all. So we're going to talk about that next week because we are at war now. There's not a war coming. We are at war right now. Right now, we are seeing political warfare, but we are seeing a much more sophisticated type of political warfare that's taking place with much more advanced TTPs, tactics, techniques, and procedures that are being used now than, say, what the Russian Revolution in the 20th century saw, the Bolshevik Revolution, which ushered in communism using social pressure, reward systems from the Communist Party, government programs, and otherwise essentially coercion to force people to accept this new system, this Bolshevism, this new communism, right? And anybody who even spoke out against it were brutally attacked, their character assassination. This type of stuff is what took place, and we're seeing that today. With Antifa, there's a lot of social pressure right now being pushed by the hard left, including Antifa, which are the far left, the furthest extreme of the militant arm of this communist revolution that's taking place in the United States. It's not just a communist revolution. It is a anti-American revolution, which is being carried out by both Islam and Marxist, communist, globalist type of alliances. So right now we're seeing tactics really being escalated that are truly placing people in harm's way. And I'll be talking about that next week. New levels that they have sunk to for doxing, using red flag laws, weaponizing CPS to take children away from conservatives, and more. Now, right now, just in Spokane, which is at the center of two battles right now in this political warfare, where Marxist communist revolutionaries are attacking on two different fronts against the American Redoubt, which is the conservative inland Pacific Northwest stronghold. It is where conservatives, largely Christian conservatives, are really waking up and they are fighting to preserve our heritage, and others are joining that effort by strategically relocating out of these strong leftist-held areas, and they are moving from Western Washington to Eastern Washington because it is more conservative here. You have Californians, Coloradans, people from Illinois moving to the heart of the American redoubt. Really, they got their target sight set on moving to Idaho because it is the most free right now in their mind's eye. But there is a fight going on right now. Now, a lot of this is centering. I've been following a lot of stuff going on in Spokane because so much has been happening in that area. See, the left, they don't even know what the American redoubt is. They're trying to call it some survivalist doomsday plan for all of these Christian conservative survivalists to all move here and wait for the end of the world. They completely miss it. The American redoubt is a strategic relocation plan to strengthen an already very conservative area. And that's happening. That's why the left is doubling down on their efforts to gain a strong foothold of leftist Marxist ideology and organizations such as the hijacked human rights groups, which we call the human rights Gestapo, essentially. And that's what they are. So you have the war against the American redoubt. In other words, just conservative values in general. Take several churches, for example, that are standing against the advancement of perversion and the advancement of killing unborn babies. These churches are increasingly coming under attack. And that's why I call the American redoubt, the conservative Inland Pacific Northwest stronghold, attacks on our conservative values. And then secondly, the Liberty State effort. That's the effort to form a new state consisting of the 20 counties east of the Cascade Mountains in Washington to break off and form a new state. Right now, the name of that proposed name is the State of Liberty, Liberty State. That can be changed at the time of ratification, and the people can decide on that. That name is based on polls that have been conducted. Several polls, the state tree, the state animal, the state rifle, the state, but it started with the state name, and there were 12 names that were part of this poll. I believe there were 12. And Liberty came out with the most votes after leaving this poll up for almost a year. So some of the folks that are, I don't like the name Liberty, I say, well, I don't care what it's called as long as I can be free. And liberty is a beautiful word. But look, it can be changed. It's not a state yet. The name can be changed. If that's your big hang up, we'll deal with that when we get to it. But when we get to that point. But right now, let's get the process going for you folks in Eastern Washington to break free. What an amazing border state to have next to Idaho. I mean, this is really actually gaining a lot of momentum. But there are churches and pastors who have taken a stand on these issues around Eastern Washington. They're being continually attacked on social media and on the fake news with their biased media and actually being attacked, not just virtually, with threats. And this is really so sad. It would be laughable if this were not serious. But the sheriff, Ozzie Knezovich, has completely lost his mind, in my opinion. He's partnering with this former senator and white supremacist John Smith and Jay Pounder, the traitor to Matt Shea and several, well, the whole Patriot community, to put on a presentation in Spokane at the end of September called The Threats We Face. And they've got the picture of the neo-Nazi symbol. They've got the ISIS flag. And then among the threats are hate speech, the 51st State Movement. It's right up there with ISIS and neo-Nazis, which is really strange because John Smith is a white supremacist. Even as he was running for election, he was still attending this congregation which espoused the white supremacist doctrine. How it's like living in Alice in Wonderland. How they're pointing to conservative Christians, calling them white supremacists, when the evidence surrounding us points to the exact opposite of what they're accusing us of. It's really bizarre. So anyway, that's going on. Also, Operation Dorian. AMRON, the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, the nationwide radio communications network, is now back to AMCON 5. That is the lowest AMRON communications network readiness condition level, with no known threats or disruptions to our grid, specifically our telecommunications infrastructure. So the AMRON network has been activated throughout the hurricane. It is just deactivated Friday, this Friday, September 6th. So I want to pass along to you guys a report that was put out by the SIGSEN in, the East Coast SIGSEN. There is one right there on the Georgia-South Carolina line that were overseeing the communications. And, of course, the rest of the network were supporting them in those efforts. But they were providing a lifeline using unconventional communications, HF radio, ham radio, to those who were in the affected area who had lost power or telecommunications. So I want to share this with you real quick. This is going to be a very short broadcast, but I wanted to get a few things out for you guys. So this is sent out by the SIGSEN on Friday at 20:30 Zulu, which is just about right around noontime Pacific time. This is a priority message from the Eastern SIGSEN Operations Center. Hurricane Dorian update. From the National Hurricane Center, Hurricane Dorian Tropical Cyclone updated National Hurricane Center, Miami, Florida. Dorian still causing life-threatening storm surge and hurricane force winds. Remember, this was Friday. During the past hour, an elevated weather flow station at Jeannette Pier, North Carolina, recently reported sustained winds of 83 miles an hour and a wind gust of 98 miles an hour. This is the last regularly scheduled tropical cyclone update for Dorian. An intermediate advisory will be issued at 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, followed by the next complete advisory at 5 p.m. So I want you to hear the audio of the SIGSEN director putting out the order to stand down at the end of operations that AMRON would deactivate along with the SIGSEN. So listen to this.
AMRON Ops and Eastern SIGSEN operation will deactivate at 2200 hours Zulu. That's 1800 hours Eastern Daylight Time. The operation was in emergency activation for an estimated 144 hours with help from within the CSRA team, the Piedmont Tri-Up team, and many other operators. AMRON operators came together as a team to assist at least four families with health and welfare updates. Break. And just want to say thank you from all of us. The Eastern ZNet and standard AMRON SOI frequencies will be returned back to normal operations. Thanks for everyone's help. God bless. This is Foxtrot Quebec 01. And specifically for the net that's coming up at Voice and Digital, please disseminate this information. Thank you, and thanks to everyone. This is Foxtrot Quebec 01.
So all I can say is that I am so proud of the AMRON operators who took the time at their own expense to be there ready. I will be talking about this in the Partisan Radio podcast in the middle to the end of this week, doing a recap of Operation Dorian. And then I'll resume those where we can get to the after action reports from the T-Rex 2019 exercise that we did in July. But it has just been an absolute honor, to work with the most amazing and selfless people time and again, with one emergency disaster situation after another, from wildfires to floods to hurricanes. So many situations where these good people have risen to the occasion, and it's just an honor to be part of them and to work with them when the situation calls for it. When duty calls, they're there. Just the highest caliber of people. Just, like I said, just really a pleasure to work with them. So we've got a couple of updates here. I already gave you the updates from we'll talk a little bit about Liberty State and what's going on there. We're going to have a lot more to talk about. But this week, the results, as much as the left is trying to demonize the Liberty State movement and turn it and make it into, and now we're being called a Christian Taliban, trying to force Christianity on people and so on and so forth. Well, the people aren't buying the fake news. They're not falling for the propaganda and the hit pieces and the smear campaigns. This was just in this afternoon. Results from the Spokane County Fair exceeded expectations. This is a report from this weekend. The response was 99% positive at the fair booth for Liberty State. They said they also have hundreds of signatures gathered and more information to follow. So that is really exciting. Earlier this week, Wednesday, Liberty State had their first press conference with Lady Liberty providing that. And several news agencies reported actually fairly close to being completely unbiased and objective. It was a great message. It was a positive message. And there was a question and answer session with various different news agencies. But I will let you listen to Lady Liberty's opening press announcement that took place Moses Lake this week, earlier this week, with Liberty State's first press conference. Yeah. So this was her opening statement.
Thank you all for coming to the first ever Liberty State Press Conference. I want to open our press conference today with some general information about Liberty State that will bring everyone up to speed so we'll all start out on the same basis of understanding. We are forming the new state of liberty according to the U.S. Constitution, Article 4, Section 3, which says, "New states may be admitted by the Congress into this Union, but no new state shall be formed or erected within the jurisdiction of any other state, nor any state be formed by the junction of two or more states, or parts of states without the consent of the legislatures of the states concerned, as well as of the Congress." So we're basically following the constitutional law that delineates how this can happen. This constitutional process makes it easy for us to form a new state, as it only requires simple majority vote or 50 votes in the House to approve the formation of this new state in the legislature. Currently, there are 41 Republicans in the House, so we only need 9 more votes to get this action passed. As you all know, the east side of Washington is culturally different than the west side of Washington. The east side is predominantly rural, and the west is predominantly urban. There is nothing wrong with either being the way that they are naturally. However, the urban has the majority over the rural on nearly every vote, and therefore the rural side of the state is failing to be represented, as has been the case for the past 30 years. Majority vote cannot work across two vastly different cultures. How can a person who only has experience living in downtown Seattle be expected to effectively harvest 2,000 acres of alfalfa? Can that downtown Seattle living person make informed and educated decisions on how to raise, calve, feed, and steward 1,000 head of cattle over a 10,000 acre lease? And by the same token, how do you think a pig farmer would do if he were asked to make policies for a busy Puget Sound port? One could not reasonably even expect either to be able to make wise choices for the other. Good representation must come from those with similar skills and experience. Just like a newspaper is not going to hire a truck driver to be their top journalist, we cannot hire an urbanite to make good decisions for rural living people. So neither West nor East are wrong for being what they are naturally, naturally urban or naturally rural. They're just completely different in their daily lives and needs. And why continue to try to combine the two when they naturally don't combine at all? Farmers don't live in Seattle, and Seattle residents don't want to live in a cornfield. When combining the two causes natural conflict, and when forming a new state alleviates all that conflict, what is there to lose? There is nothing to lose and everything to gain from the peaceful and lawful formation of the new state of liberty. The West Side has described how we are like a dead weight they keep having to drag along and pay for all the time. We have been considered a very heavy burden to all of them, and along that same line, we want to be on our own anyway. If you will look at our voting record for the past 30 years, the East Side of the state has voted consistently red in every election and on every issue. The West votes blue in each election on every issue. We want different things that serve us best locally. So let's alleviate the conflict and be happy with our own best local policies, and we'll no longer be a burden on the West Side. We're already naturally divided geographically as well, with a Cascade Mountain range standing between our respective sides of the state. Liberty State would have its natural border along existing county lines along the Cascade Range. The geographic line is already there naturally, so that makes it easy as well. In mediation, a good mediator will try to find common ground for both parties that will benefit both sides equally as well. So it is important to understand that this is truly a win-win situation for both the West and East Side of the state. When both are a plague to each other because of natural cultural differences, and both would be much happier without the other, there's only one solution that works very well for both sides, and that is the amiable formation of the new state of liberty that both sides agree would be the best win-win situation. We've all had the displeasure of having to endure the ongoing attacks upon Representative Matt Shea. While Representative Shea struck the match, Liberty State is about we the people, and we are just happy he was willing to introduce the bill on our behalf. He is being attacked because he and the Republican Freedom Agenda have worked very hard over the past decade to block Democrat actions. It is my belief that the West Side would be much happier without that large group of Republicans working so hard against them all the time. While they have targeted Representative Shea for his effectiveness against them, removing him won't stop the Freedom Agenda for a second. In fact, they are a large group, and there would easily be four or five people to take his place the second he were gone anyway, and they would keep moving forward with their actions. However, the entire Freedom Agenda would be gone altogether with the formation of Liberty State. Who in their right mind turns down a win-win situation where both sides end up better off than they were before? It is time both sides of the state work together to accomplish this win-win scenario. I believe this better situation is waiting for us all on the horizon this next legislative session. I believe both sides need to strive for the better outcome and move quickly to collaborate and get it accomplished. It is in all our best interest on both sides to form the new state, and we look forward to having cooperation from the West Side of the state as well. So how do we get there? What does that road look like for all of us? We have seen tremendous support for this movement from both sides already. What the West Side needs to do is communicate their support to the Democrat legislators for this new state for the next session in Olympia. The very idea that the West Side would have a lot more money because of it would be a great start. Begin educating them on House Bill 1509 and House Joint Memorial 4003, and ask them to start forming their own advisory groups and caucuses to discuss what they might add through additional support measures and other bills of their own. The process really ought to be unanimously supported in this win-win situation. This action is most effective if it can be accomplished quickly and with both sides working to help each other get it done. Both sides have enormous benefits to look forward to upon the formation of Liberty State. More money for the West Side and more localized representation for the East. In fact, items the Democrats could help us with to get this accomplished quickly are the establishing of transition teams that are referenced in Representative Shea's bills. The Democrats could be a huge help in writing companion bills to ensure smooth and detailed transition teams that will help address issues such as pension funds, retirement funds, and so on. Let's please all decide to put our heads together on this issue and move forward quickly. We are already so close to having the necessary votes in the House. And with a bit more help from the West Side, this will be a huge success for both sides of the state.
Okay, so that was it. And right before, that's when she broke into the, you know, opening up questions. Like I mentioned yesterday, the best part, my favorite part, was the where she ripped into the the spokesman review reporter who had misquoted her and failed to make a correction until his most recent. Actually, I think that she got through to him because he actually corrected his quote of her. But anyway, it's just really exciting to be a part of, to be on the inside and watching this actually happen. Redoubt News also had a piece where they were over at the Spokane Fairgrounds booth this weekend interviewing Sean, can't think of his last name. But anyway, the guy from one of the folks who is on the Spokane County volunteer, of course, it's Spokane County Fair. And so the volunteers from Spokane County were running that fair booth. And he did a good interview. A lot of the same talking points that Lady Liberty puts out. And then, of course, some of their own experiences that they've seen right there at Spokane, which is significant because it is the highest population density area in Liberty State. 99% positive feedback at their booth, despite the efforts of the left. So really, it's just encouraging. And this is looks like it's actually has a chance to succeed. It's just a very, very cool thing to be a part of. Also, man, yesterday that the 9/11 memorial ride that was from Colville Liberty over to the panhandle of Idaho, back up to a little town, Chihuahua, at the American Legion. They do this annually. Must have been 100 motorcycles escorted out of Colville by police and fire. It's a neat deal to see and to be a part of. So that took place yesterday. There's just the fair at the Columbia County. Now that one also, folks had not heard of Liberty State. Many of them, the ones who had, were very supportive of it. And only one or two people saying, I don't want to divide the state. What's wrong with Washington? And they don't get it. But some of them started off that way. And after the volunteers speaking to them and educating the people, they started to actually come around. It's like, actually, you got a good point. I understand what you mean now. So it's about getting out there and talking to people about freedom when you're talking about liberty, whether you're trying to form a state of liberty or not. You talk to people and educate people. It's a really neat thing to actually watch people come around, watch the light bulbs come on, and then actually they want to take a part, an active role in preserving liberty, preserving freedom and our heritage. So it's just been a very completely packed week. I'm exhausted. It's just been go, 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 nonstop, all week. And then putting the studio back together and everything. I found that buzz, that hum, I fixed it. So the audio is much cleaner now, and so I'm happy about that. But anyway, we're going to wrap things up. You guys have a great rest of the week. Still got a busy week this week, but I'm really looking forward to putting all of these topics together and discussing those next week in episode 1934. So until then, keep your powder dry and stay safe. It's a crazy world out there. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you've been listening to the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.